Every startup begins with an ambitious founder and an idea, but what inspires them to take the leap into the entrepreneurial world? I'm Peter Jun Ho Sang, founder and CEO of Beyond Form, and welcome to our new founder series. I'll be sitting down with a few of our startup founders to hear about their journey as entrepreneurs in the fashion tech world. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Yeet Alp Elmas, co-founder of T Fashion, to talk about his personal journey of entrepreneurship. At just 16 years old, Yeet began his journey with AI technology and got a taste for the entrepreneurial tech world, competing against seasoned adults and prevailing on top. But that wasn't enough. Having seen the downsides of fashion through his parents, Yeet dreamed of making real changes to the industry. With T Fashion, Yeet decided to focus on his efforts using AI to create data-driven trend forecasting for fashion brands.
Fashion and AI can be like a power couple, you know? And as you mentioned, like it's just like having a fashion crystal ball that actually, you know, works. But you know, when you look behind, you'll see that there is actually lots of work done on AI to make this possible.
Let's get stuck into Yeet's founder journey on this episode of Venturing Into Fashion Tech. How are you today, Yeet?
I'm great, Peter. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Looking forward to this conversation about AI, trend forecasting, and generative design, but most importantly, your journey as well as a founder, or hot topics. But before we do get into the conversation itself, I just wanted to give some context to our listeners. So in terms of generative design and AI within the fashion market specifically, it is expected to grow at a compound annual growth rate of 36.9%. And it is predicted to reach $1.5 billion by 2032. And the biggest market is going to be the US market. In terms of Gen AI, it is still a nascent category, but it is growing very quickly. So we shall see if those numbers are actually true or not in the next 10 years or so. But moving on to trend forecasting, which you also do as a platform, StyleSage, one of your counterparts in North America, was acquired by Centric, which is a PLMM software and system, at the end of 2022, November specifically last year. Undisclosed amount, but it kind of just showed that AI and trend forecasting and analytics is very hot for other people to buy. And then the biggest one, WGSN, states that it has around 6,500 customers in 90 countries around the world with a revenue of more than £100 million. And it's interesting because T Fashion is trying to tackle all of those in one platform. But before we get into the platform itself, I want to hear more a bit about you, Yeet. You've not yet finished your undergraduate degree and you already are an entrepreneur. How did you choose this path?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here, Peter. And you made a great summary of the market right now. And to talk a little bit about myself, as you said, I'm an undergrad student right now at University of Toronto, studying computational cognitive science, which is kind of like AI, but we dive into, you know, how brain works and so on. So about my journey, it's a bit of a long story. So I'll take it from the high school because that's where we started the ideation process of T Fashion. So I've been dealing with AI. I've been working on AI for the last 6-7 years. I'm 22 now. So like when I started, I was like 15, 16. And what I've done is I used to attend to multiple different competitions, both like local and like international. In these competitions, we used to, you know, prepare different technologies, different projects, from smart cities to language models. And they were all somehow connected to AI in some ways. And what happened in between was like, I was, you know, like we used to spend months getting ready for these competitions, creating different AI algorithms and so on. And then after the competition, either we win or lose, we would just, you know, put the project into a shelf. So it didn't mean anything after the competition. And I felt like, you know, that was like kind of like waste of my time, you know, just like spending months on something and just, you know, throwing away after the competition. So I want to do something sustainable, something that will actually create value for people. That's how we actually, how I actually dived into entrepreneurship. And before T Fashion, And like I've been working with Mehmet Ali, like my co-founder at T Fashion, with through all these competitions, all these projects that we've done together. And after a specific competition back in 2018, which was an AI competition on language models, we were high schoolers back then. I think I was 17. That competition, we prepared this language model, which was, you know, answering questions and so on. And as the only high schoolers in the competitions, most of them were PhDs, we came in first with Mehmet Ali. And after that competition, I said, okay, at this point, I better, you know, start doing something actually sustainable and valuable. And I just felt like we could do it. At first step, we first created this startup around delivering data sets for language models. And it was mainly like we created this question answering data set and made it open source and created a community around it. And we were trying to serve different data sets for different companies. But we saw that the NLP community, the work that was done on NLPs, which is natural language processing, wasn't that developed back then. So there wasn't enough demand, basically. So after a year, we just failed that. Throughout my, you know, childhood, from my parents, I've been going in the Turkish textiles and fashion industry because both of my parents have been active in the industry. I was, you know, seeing lots of problems with the industry. So I felt like, you know, we could actually make use of AI to solve the biggest problems of the fashion industry. So that's how we actually started T Fashion. That's how I actually, you know, got into this startup ecosystem.
And then, are you trying to say that you are like some kind of a whiz kid? Because being doing AI at like 15 is pretty tough and pretty cool. How did you even think about going into AI? Because certainly when I was, you know, a high school kid, there was certainly no AI at all in any of the classes. So how did you even come about doing that?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I think about this like all the time because I feel like it's not that I'm the whiz kid, but I just feel like I was a bit early to start. But the age is coming earlier and earlier with the change of generations. Right now, like anybody can access any kind of material online. And that was the case with me as well. Like I was just interested in technology and I was trying to see, you know, different technologies that are coming up. At the age of like 15 or 16. And back then, I remember that like there was this startup coming up called Coursera. And it was founded by the AI professor at Stanford University. And the goal was to deliver the, you know, high level educational materials that are presented in universities like, you know, Stanford, MIT, Harvard, University of Toronto, and so on. So they, like professors would just go there and upload their classes over there. And when I just, you know, came across AI, I was just like impressed by the idea of AI, impressed by the idea of creating something actually intelligent. I just want to dive in deeper. And like this guy, Andrew Ng, from Stanford University, used to publish their classes basically online. And I was just taking these classes and I was just like, you know, like through the way I taught myself how to, you know, learn these deep stuff, like just spending time online. And that was how I actually got into AI. And I just think that the age will go even lower as the generations pass. Like 15 won't mean anything because I saw kids who are like just 8 or 9 and who are actually coding AI. So like we're going through a different, you know, generation, different world, I think.
In terms of your age, you mentioned that you are 22. At present, how has that played in your favor or against you by being so young, being an entrepreneur? Like, do people take you seriously?
I'll be honest with this question. So, for a long time, they didn't take me seriously. They like I even heard sometimes, like when I was 18, when we were just like in the ideation process of T Fashion, I was talking to executives of fashion brands, and they're just telling me like, just go play around and just, you know, I don't know, play soccer or something for the upcoming 5, 6 years, and then come back. Like you're too early. Like it's too early for you to think about all of this stuff. But I just had this cause, you know, like I believed that there was a big problem in the way that the fashion industry was working. And I was way into it. Like I was way inside. I was experiencing all of it through my mother, through my father. And over time, I found ways to turn this into kind of my advantage. Because, you know, there is a long time ahead of me. I'm aware of this. And there is that means that I have a great room for improvement. So I felt like if you can use this into your advantage, if you know how to use this for your advantage, it's something that can benefit you. But it's a hard thing. Like there will be bias about your age, bias about your, you know, experience. But if you work hard and just, you know, show the results of what you're doing, then there is no debate around it. It's something tangible, right?
Yeah, and with fashion specifically, of course, it is all about the image, shall we say, and how old you are, where you come from, your background, all of those sorts of things do influence, especially fashion professionals, about whether they will take you seriously or not. I have been there. But I think when we look at T-Fashion specifically, the platform, you are proving that it works. You have developed a platform that actually can tell trends and it can do generative designs. So I think it's almost like on one side, they're almost a little bit intimidated, the fact that you are young and able to create a product that actually does work. And that can get their back up slightly, as well as prick their ears at the same time. So it's almost like a double-edged sword. So I can see kind of like how that is working against you and for you at the same time. In terms of the Turkish ecosystem, what is it like specifically for startups and AI? And then subsequently, what's it like in Canada, since you're now based in Canada for your studies as well?
Like, Turkey is an interesting place. Like, it doesn't come across as like a hotspot for AI or startup. But when you're deep inside, you see that there are very talented people, very talented startup co-founders. It's a good place to be in, I think. In our story as well, like when we started in the ideation process of T-Fashion, we just were, you know, searching through what's done in the literature of AI. Like we were checking academic papers if there were any specific work done on the fashion domain of AI. Like if there were any AI applications in the fashion domain. And when we were checking the academic literature, we saw that there was this Turkish researcher, Furkan, which is our co-founder right now. We first saw him, like we were reading his papers. We were trying to turn his research into something that is actually, you know, that's something that we can commercialize. And at some point we realized that like, we won't be able to do this on our own. We need Furkan in our team. So we just, you know, got in touch with Furkan. We talked about our ideas. We talked about, you know, how there is a great opportunity and a great problem in the fashion industry and how we can make use of AI in the fashion industry to, you know, solve all of these problems. Like I just think that like fashion and AI can be like a power couple, you know? And as you mentioned, like it's just like having a fashion crystal ball that actually, you know, works. But at you know, when you look behind, you'll see that there is actually lots of work done on AI to make this possible. After meeting Furkan, we met multiple other engineers in Turkey, and we created a great team of engineers to make this possible. And when you look at T-Fashion, the way that we forecast future, the way that we forecast future trends, it's not magic, actually. It's like all it's like a statistical approach combined with making use of the technologies that are coming with AI. What we do is like we go online, we collect data about different target audiences of the brands that we're working with. We collect data about the masses itself. We collect data about, you know, trendsetters. We collect data about celebrities, influencers. We collect data about fashion weeks. So when we collect all of this, like when I say we collect data, this data consists mainly of images, images that people are actually sharing on social media. And this is a historical data coming from 2015. So if you can extract what people are wearing out of these images and how people are engaging into what other people are wearing, like celebrities or trendsetters and influencers, you can actually see the pattern of trends coming from, you know, top designers, top fashion weeks, to celebrities, to influencers, to micro-influencers, to, you know, masses. And by making sense of this great pattern all across the world, not in a country, not in a continent, but all across the world, you can actually foresee how, you know, masses will react to certain type of trends that are coming into the market. And that is what we saw with, for example, like Barbie movie. Barbie movie was very interesting. Like, we didn't forecast that pink would be a hot color in the summer season, but as soon as Barbie movie had some kind of promotion happening on social media, we saw the pattern coming through. Like, right away, we saw that, okay, there is a big thing coming up right now. And that directly affected the way that we're forecasting the future trends for females and all around the world. And what we saw was pink was actually, you know, coming in the upcoming 6-7 months. And I'm talking about the beginning of 2023. So we were able to spot that just by, you know, seeing the promotions of Barbie movie and just by knowing in the past how this type of movement affected our masses. And it actually happened right now. Pink is a very hot color and it seems like it will be staying in the upcoming seasons as well. Like, all of the people that we met in Turkey made this possible. And even though our team was in Turkey, we wanted to, you know, be close to the center of AI. And that's why we wanted to move to Toronto. That's where actually, you know, the greatest names of AI are, you know, living in and, like, you know, creating an ecosystem over there. One of them is the godfather of AI, Joe Fenton.
So it sounds like all three of you have approached it from that research heavy perspective. All three co-founders are product people. Did you just all wake up one day and be like, yes, let's just all apply this to fashion and we're going to do trend forecasting? Did it work like that? Or was there some serious discussion that had to go on before that happened?
Even though we're heavily, you know, invested in the product side, we all are passionate about fashion. And especially myself, like I mentioned before, that like my parents were in the fashion industry in Turkey. Like, I want to dive deeper into that because that's where the idea of tea fashion came from. So my father has been, you know, working as an executive at a fabric manufacturer, producing fabrics for big fashion brands in Russia, in Italy, in Saudi Arabia, and so on. And my mother has used to work as an executive at different ready-to-wear manufacturers, producing for brands like, you know, Bershka, Primark, H&M, Zara, and so on. And lately, back in like 2015, when I was just discovering AI, she actually started at an executive position at a brand called Collezione. It was a Turkish fast fashion brand. Back in 2015, it was a fast-growing brand with, you know, great sales, competing with the top brands in the region, competing with, you know, H&M, Zara, LC Waikiki, De Facto in the region in Turkey and the region around Turkey. And I saw how this brand actually got bigger and bigger up until 2018 with the guidance of my mother. In 2018, it was no doubt the biggest brand in the region, but I knew that they were facing big problems. And I knew this through my mother. And the problem was that they were investing in products that didn't sell. They were having great problems with their stock. And they had no money left because they invested all of their money in producing products and buying products that won't sell, that didn't talk to their target audience. So I knew the problems back then. And in 2018, I remember how, you know, Collezione's production came to a halt. So they didn't make any kind of new clothing. They're just trying to sell what they had in their stocks. And they couldn't do that. Like, in 2 years, in 2020, they were going out of business with almost tens of millions of dollars worth of unsold clothing in their stocks. And like that really affected me because like I saw my mother's reaction to it. It wasn't in our house. Like, you know, she was upset all the time. She, like, her mood was affecting me as well. So I said, okay, like, is there a way for me to help this through? Like, can I make use of somehow any kind of technology or like anything to help this through. And like, as I used to go to these businesses with my parents as a child, I had a chance to spend time with employees. I had a chance to spend time with, you know, buyers, spend time at fashion designers, spend time, you know, all different people in different departments of a fashion brand or a fashion manufacturer. And I knew how a yarn became a fabric, and then from fabric to a clothing, and then from a clothing to, you know, sending it to the stores and meeting with customers. So I knew the whole process, and I knew there were big flaws. And what struck me and what really annoyed me was that, you know, there was like very limited use of data. We were talking about businesses of hundreds of millions of dollars worth of size, and they didn't use any kind of data. They were relying on the know-how and the intuitions of, you know, fashion designers, of buyers, of merchandisers. And I just thought that, okay, like we have to put in what, you know, we have to listen to the target audience at first. Like we have to know what our target audience wants from us so that, you know, we can actually sell the products that we're producing or like we're buying. And secondly, I knew that the methodologies that they were using inside was, you know, very traditional. They were just reading reports from, you know, magazines, from different trend forecasting providers. Some of them you mentioned at the beginning. And like, it's basically like 7,000 subscribers are getting the same report, and they're getting a couple of reports every week that basically says, oh, this is a great energy. You have to work on this. This will be a star in the upcoming year and so on. So I was just like, I was also reading these reports, and I it didn't make sense to me. So I was talking with designers, I was talking with buyers, and they were also saying that the trend is the most important thing for them. They have to know where trends are going. But at the same time, they were complaining that they didn't have enough inputs about trends. They didn't know what actually their target audience wanted. So there was this confusion that they had as well. And I realized at that point that like we can somehow make use of social networks, social media networks to, you know, see what our target audience actually wears, see what they actually engage into, see their consumption behaviors. And then by looking at the trendsetters, influencers, fashion weeks, we can actually foresee trends. And that's how we actually came up with the idea of T Fashion with my co-founders. And since we all loved fashion, we just said that, okay, we should dive into this and we should spend time to solve this problem. And after working with Collezione for some time, we realized that this is a problem not only for Collezione, but for the whole fashion market. So we were even more excited to, you know, solve this problem. Not for a specific company, but for the whole world. And that's when we decided to turn T Fashion into a startup.
We mentioned right at the start of this conversation that in terms of AI and fashion, it is expected to grow quite quickly with 36.9% annual growth rate. But do you actually think that fashion is ready for such a platform?
The answer is a bit complicated. I think they have to be ready because it's coming in. There is no way to.
Are they bracing themselves though? Like they're just like, I know it's, I need to be ready, but I'm not quite sure yet.
Like it's a bit complicated. I see that some brands are very aware that AI is coming and they have to embrace it. And they're turning this into a company policy. They're creating teams of, you know, data people, data managers, you know, data scientists and so on, AI engineers. So I know that there are companies, and these are the top companies, by the way, that is trumping over the fashion market. That's why they're trumping, because they know what they're doing. And I see that as besides the top ones, they're a bit confused about how AI will affect them. So I wouldn't directly say that they're ready. They're trying to get ready. They're a bit confused about, you know, how it will affect fashion designers, how it will affect, you know, their creativity, their inspirational minds and so on. But I believe that, you know, AI is not necessarily, especially T Fashion, is not necessarily affecting your creativity in any ways. Like the data that we provide is there to focus your creativity on something that will actually matter. So it's kind of like an assistant. So yeah, it's yes and no. Some companies are ready, some are not.
I agree with you. And you mentioned that there are many people that may think that AI is going to replace their job or take over what they're doing, especially from the creative side. And I do think that AI or data specifically is going to augment and support the creativity in a different way. But I think at a cultural level, at a operational and company perspective, individuals are just scared. It's like with any new technology, so new is like what you're trying to suggest with tea fashion. They haven't yet got over that fear factor of using such a platform. So I think time will tell whether it is going to be integrated into the everyday lives of, for example, the fashion designer, or is it going to be somewhere else in the fashion system that potentially we are not aware yet of how they're going to use it.
Like when they see the power of data-driven insights and, you know, how generative design, when they actually experience that, they'll wonder how they ever lived without it. Trust me, like AI is about to become the hottest thing, I think, in the fashion industry.
That is a very bold statement. Let's see where it goes with that. So in terms of context for our listeners, Tea Fashion as a platform is starting off with the AI trend forecasting to start off with. It does have generative design in the pipeline. Why those two in one platform?
Well, we actually started as a trend forecasting platform solely because the technology didn't even exist back then. Like, we didn't have any kind of generative technology. So we were just trying to make use of this big data coming from social media and just like make sense of it using AI and forecast trends. That was the main goal when we started. But along the way, this is a benefit of having people who are engineers who are very close to the AI. We were following the latest technologies, the cutting edge technologies that are coming inside the academic side of AI. And we were seeing that generative algorithms, which are able to create art pieces, were coming in. So right at that moment, we saw that, okay, if AI is able to create art pieces, it can also create fashion designs. It can create the designs itself. So like, around 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we first started experimenting with generative algorithms. We even had a chance to make a pilot with one of the biggest brands in the Middle Eastern region to come up with a AI-generated collection. I'm talking about like 2.5 years ago. And we saw that, okay, this technology is super promising. Like, this is super, super disruptive. And we have to dive into this. And what we had, like, what made it more exciting for us was that, like, we already had the trends data. Like, we knew where the trends are going. So the problem with generative design was that, like, it created random designs. But we didn't necessarily... we didn't have to create random designs. We already know where we should focus on. We already know which colors are trending. We already know what people will be wearing, what type of necklines that they'll be choosing in t-shirts, what type of fit they'll be choosing in the upcoming seasons. So we started experimenting with generative design technologies that is connected to our trends. So like us spending time on trends for years actually helped us to create a generative design platform that doesn't randomly generate designs, but it is super focused and only creates designs that will actually become trends. So that was the point at which we said, okay, this is amazing. Like we have to do this. So yeah, that's how we, you know, connect the trends and generative AI.
It sounds like we're all going to be rushing to the Tea Fashion platform to see what we should be wearing in the future and what we should be preparing for. But I don't know. I see that you're not wearing Barbie pink though today, Yeet. You're not following the trend.
Yeah, I'm actually following the trends. I love following the trends. And the interesting thing is, like, since like I'm the co-founder of Tea Fashion and I know where the trends are going, Like I always keep an eye at, you know, what trends are going in my city. So I like whenever I'm buying from a brand, I first look at the trends and I buy it accordingly. I first check which colors will be trending in the upcoming seasons, and I, you know, focus on these type of colors. I check which type of designs will be trending, and I just buy these type of, you know, designs from these brands. And it's interesting because I, even though I'm following the trends by using T fashion, like when I wear them, I see that nobody's wearing such, you know, clothing at the time because like it's supposed to be trends in the upcoming season. So in my close circle, I kind of turn into a trendsetter somehow. So it's super interesting for me as well.
So on that note, Yi, let's finish off this episode with a quick fire round of questions. So the first answer that comes to your head, are you ready?
Yep.
Are you a trend follower or a trendsetter?
I'm like a fashion double agent, both.
Both. Okay. A fashion trend you wish didn't exist.
Yoga pants, like
Good
everyday wear.
answer. Good answer. One person that's a trendsetter to you.
Kanye West.
One word to describe generative design with AI.
Disruptive.
Final tip to any aspiring entrepreneurs.
Okay, so look, entrepreneurship is trying to follow fashion trends without T fashion. So it can be confusing, it can be frustrating, and sometimes you'll end up, you know, with bad outfits. But you know, just keep learning, just keep digging deeper. Don't be afraid to, you know, think big. Don't be afraid to have a great vision. And like I'll just say, like, if a couple of high schoolers can beat PhDs and come up with this startup, so can you. So just remember, sometimes like failures will lead you to great success, and don't be afraid.
Thank you, Yeet.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click follow to keep up to date with the latest episodes. And if you like this episode, please give us a review. If you want us to feature a specific theme or guest, please give us a message at beyondform.io. I will see you very soon.